Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive to from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. All right. Pardon the hiccup. Starbucks. Lots to cover and discuss. This is actually our first episode back after a nice long summer sabbatical. I've had a chance to just refocus, and this episode is all about focus and sort of where I've been, but also where I'm going and the work that we do as classroom teachers, whether you teach littles, middles, high schoolers, or young adult learners. You know, the big secret about all this stuff is we're teaching people. So we got to figure out what makes people work and what makes people burn out and what makes people stressed out and what makes people excited, and tap into the good things while, you know, giving ourselves awareness or space away from the bad. So this week's episode is actually all about focus. So I want to focus in, but if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe. We'll call this a new season of the podcast. New episodes typically drop on Mondays, give or take, and they are available on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever podcasts. You can find them on your favorite streaming app. If you like what you're hearing, do let me know. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. Like I said, Meehan like my last name, M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU like teaching, because I love this thing and I want to get better at it. I don't know what my role will be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year in this space, but I love doing this work. Truly. And it's one actually the reasons why I had to dial back on the podcast, because the work that we're doing is just so myriad, so multifaceted. There's a lot of things we can do. I'll get back to that in a second, but last things, if you want to get a hold of me, Twitter is great. I also have a website that I'm working on quite a bit. It's emc2learning.com. That's where Michael Matera and I have a membership community. We have a few hundred resources, a few thousand members who hang out and talk about ways to change the game in education. We'd be honored if you would consider joining us as a member of our core of engagement engineers. Between us, we've written three books. Explore Like a Pirate is Michael's first book. Mine's called Adrenaline Rush. It's adrenaline with an E, like educational ed adrenaline. And our latest book, which was published in August, is called Fully Engaged. It's all about playful pedagogy for real results. So we focus on that too. We focus really hard on doing the work for people who show up. But I want to talk about focus today. I actually want to talk about a bunch of things that I've been up to, and like I said, where I'm going. And I think if this was a homily in a Catholic church — I'm Catholic, so that's my faith tradition — and every Sunday, the priest has like a topic, kind of, and usually starts with a joke or a like quote, and then delves deeper into the themes at play for the week. But I think I'm going to rip off that shamelessly and do the same thing here today. So I don't know if this is the topic or the theme, but I think it is the quote that helps get us started about being busy, about focusing. Henry David Thoreau, the American transcendentalist, the writer, author, philosopher, thinker, part-time theologian. Thoreau was a man of many talents, a man of great intentionality himself, and he famously spent a night in jail because he refused to pay a poll tax when the country was expanding. He felt that the president at the time, I believe it was Zachary Taylor, maybe James K. Polk, one of the lesser-known presidents, he felt that, I think it was Polk, now that I'm thinking about it, he felt that Polk was a bit of a warmonger, and that he was trying to grow the country, which is not a bad thing, but doing it so that he could gain more space and gain more states into the Union that would ultimately be slave states and expand the institution of slavery throughout the United States. So, man of deep principle, Thoreau just straight up refused to pay his taxes, which is both great and awkward, because it does come with its own expenses, right? Thoreau has a lot of great quotes, which I'll probably talk about a few of them here on the podcast. But the one that he says that I love the most, so he goes to jail, right? He goes to jail and he refuses to pay the poll tax. He's like, I'm not going to pay this because it's going to grow your war chest that you could then spend on annexing spaces and then using to enslave new people. I won't do it. And while that feels very remote for like a 2-cent poll tax, right, he's sticking to his convictions and doing what he loves at a very high level. So what Thoreau said, back to the quote, he said, the key is to be busy with the right things. Ants are busy too. And I really love that. I think I'm going to say it maybe two or three different ways through this podcast. But Thoreau himself was a very busy person. He went out to the woods in Walden Pond, famously, to live deliberately. He said he wanted to listen to the grass grow. He wanted to build a house himself with his own hands from scratch. Even though there was a house on the small property that he was at, like one of those, you know, tiny houses, he tore it down and built a new one from scratch. Every board, every shingle, every scrap, every pane of glass. And he would just sit and enjoy a year watching the leaves turn, listening to the grass grow, you know, making food for himself and going about walks, visiting his friends in the area intentionally, like long walks. Ralph Waldo Emerson famously lived in the space. And so he's like kind of a dropout or a beatnik or maybe a hippie in its own way. But there's something very noble about that, right? Being busy with the right things. I guess that's what later politicians might call good trouble. Had a chance to see John Lewis give a presentation at the Virginia Military Institute before he passed some years ago. And famously, John Lewis talked about getting in good trouble, right? Being busy with the right things and finding yourself occupied, your time occupied with the things that set your heart on fire. One more Thoreau quote before we segue into the bigger purpose of today. Thoreau says that you should trust yourself, that every heart vibrates to its own iron string. We all have that thing inside of us that makes us, you know, who we are. And he says a foolish consistency is a hobgoblin of a small mind. Basically, I have a mind, and it's for changing. And I reserve the right at any time to do whatever makes most sense to my heart. And that's not because I'm wishy-washy. Quite on the contrary, it's because I'm focused. I'm intentional. I know what I value, and I'm willing to go to jail for those things, go to bat for those things, go to war for those things. But on the contrary, so too, I'm willing to not go to jail, not go to bat, not go to war for things that I don't value, I don't have the time for. It's a very self-made man. It's a very, all-seeing, universal way of looking at the world. Like, I am a transcendental eyeball traveling into the wilderness and just seeing it all like the Matrix moving slow motion around you, right? Like Neo with the Matrix. It all makes sense all at once because you know your place in it, and you're very confident that if at any point you have said something in your own past that you regret or that you wish to change, you have the ability to tear everything down, just like that physical house that Thoreau built, and build it again, board by board, brick by brick. And I think that's very powerful, very liberating for a lot of us when we get caught up in what the Catholic theologian Joseph Pieper, a 20th century theologian, talks about. He calls the work-a-day world. It's a sort of a soul-deadening experience, and maybe a lot of us, especially during COVID, we felt that. That soul-deadening experience that we find ourselves habitualized or routined to do stuff. But what ends up happening is when we do that stuff, we end up no longer enjoying the work that we do. It becomes a work-a-day world. You're not doing it for the sake of doing it. You're doing it because it's what you do. You're not intentional. You're not showing up. You're not loving the work. And what ends up happening is, I think that's the other one, habit is the great deadener, right? Like, do it, and there's no love. There's no joy. You need a break. And I think this is a thing as a teacher that I think for me, in my own instructional practice, COVID was so, I'm going to say it remains revelatory, like revealing. I think in my own instructional practice, COVID has taught me to be and continues to be showing me how to remain more present in the moment. When the first wave of the lockdowns and the pandemic began, it was, you go for a walk and that's your day, right? Like, I think that's a wild thing because it feels like, oh, I've wasted all these hours. I could be doing this, could be doing that. And if you're going for a walk, of course you have your phone on you, right? You'd be streaming your favorite TV show, responding to texts or tweets or emails. And I think Thoreau reminds us, to be busy with the right things, to give yourself that intentional break from, the workaday world and to live far from the maddening crowd in a way that makes most sense to you. So when you're actually going on a walk, you're going on that walk, right? I think back to the Catholic tradition one more time, St. Francis of Assisi, famous Catholic saint, right? I think it was Family Guy or The Simpsons who said he's the most overrated saint because he's the one that everyone knows about. They talk about the hippie, the OG, right? Hippies. wears sandals, goes, lives in the woods, lives a radical life of poverty. St. Francis, in a small way, with very small actions, makes a big impact in the world. But famously, St. Francis would say that his entire philosophy about ministry could be boiled down to the idea that it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. And I love all of these quotes kind of synthesized together. What does it mean, right? But it's about intentionality. Don't be going somewhere so you could give a good presentation about how much you love your faith. Be on the road and let people see you as you are walking, a clear beacon that there is no doubt that you love what you do. And I've seen that so many times when you're like driving to church, right? You know, these people like cut you off and get mad, shake their fist at you, you know, say some choice words. And then you're like, this is ridiculous. We're going to church. And then when you get to church, everyone sits in pews and then gives the sign of peace and smiles. And then right back in the car, they go. Like, I think if you are in a Christian tradition, you know, maybe the goal is not to be Christian, but to be Christ-like. And to reserve those moments where you flip the tables over for when there's that righteous anger. Not just, well, I come in and I listen to the word of, you know, the Gospels, the word of God, and then come back and do whatever I was going to do anyways. So what do Henry David Thoreau and the original hippies, you know, St. Francis of Assisi and these Catholic theologians have in common? I think what they're teaching me, and this is in my own small way, is to be present, to be here. A temptation for me this year, I was on another podcast this weekend talking about it, is because I'm finally back in the physical classroom 5 days a week, right? The temptation is to just backfill all of the stuff that you got rid of last year, right back into your classroom. Oh man, we've got 5 days and I only used to have 1 day or 2 days, you know, on this virtual split hybrid cohort thing, right? Like, well, now I get them back. Let's do everything all at once, all again, because we only have 180 days. You know, I see the sand in the hourglass ticking this year, you know. Oh man, we only have X number of days left in this week, in this unit, in this month, in this quarter, in this year. Truth be told, the work I'm doing with EMC2 and with Michael and in research and in writing makes me feel that there are many chapters yet to be written in my own book of education. And I'm excited to do that, whether it's publishing new books or working behind the scenes to help teachers. That's all very exciting. It's a big shiny thing on the horizon, you know. But I think what ends up happening is you get so caught up in the reaching, you get maybe too far out over your skis. And in thinking about all those things that are right there. One more quote, because it feels appropriate. I teach American literature, so I reference American literature and Catholic faith a lot at a Catholic school. I guess that makes sense. But Jay Gatsby, the famous, you know, protagonist, this doomed romantic hero from the great F. Scott Fitzgerald novel of the same name. Jay Gatsby reaches for that green light on the horizon, and whether it represents money or envy or love or the great American dream, it doesn't really matter. He's reaching for a thing that's just out there. Over the courtesy bay, over the sound, he stands on a dock at the end of the night, and he puts his hand out, and it trembles. F. Scott Fitzgerald writes that it trembles like one of those machines that's incredibly calibrated to be sensitive to the tremors of earthquakes thousands of miles away. Gatsby's hand is like right there and shaking. He says his dream must have seemed to him so close that he could hardly fail to grasp it. Like it's right there, it's on the horizon. So every day, you know, he wakes up, stretching out his arms further, believing, you know, this will be the time I can achieve it. We're that close. We're there. We go. But major spoiler, it doesn't go well for Gatsby. It doesn't go well for Fitzgerald. It doesn't go well for most of us. When we find ourselves reaching so much, we fail to grasp what's right here in front of us. Again, getting too far out over our skis. And so as the novel ends, Fitzgerald says, you know, every morning we wake up and we reach. Like the dream is right there. It's so close. But then we miss it. And as Fitzgerald ends his novel, he says, so we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. We spend so much time fighting that current, reaching so hard, that we fail to see, as Andy Bernard says in The Office, you know, I wish there was a way of knowing that the good old days were the good ones, right, before we left them. And I think that's it. In my own absence from podcasting, I'm trying to be more intentional in the work that I'm doing as a classroom teacher. Podcasting for me is fun. It's a joy. I love sharing education stuff with other educators. I was at a wedding this weekend, and I was speaking with a 43-year educator, career educator, and we were just talking education. I'm not fun at parties because I just talk about education all the time. We then left that wedding. I was in New Jersey, I took a drive down to my school, which is in Washington, D.C. So the wedding ended, Saturday night, late into Sunday morning. And then we had open house, so we got back in the car and big old drive and did the open house presentation, like a 4-hour drive to talk about, why our school was good, why you should check it out. And I could be resentful, right? I could be angry. I could be, I have to do this, so I can't focus on that wedding. Or, I have to have this long drive, so I can't focus on this great conversation. Or, I had back to school night, so I can't enjoy, the drive, laughing, the road, the music, the car, the conversation. But the key is to be busy with the right things. All back to what that Thoreau intentionality is asking us to do. And I think if I'm learning anything through COVID, it's you do a lot of things as educators, as parents, as siblings, as kids, and you find yourself caught up in that workaday world. But when you do that hippie thing where you say, let me just step back for a second, let me be intentional about the things that I take on. Steve Jobs famously said that he was very proud of Apple's ability to focus, not because they said yes to only the right projects. It's because they recognized that there was a lot of things they needed to say no to. And by saying no to the projects that were not essential for them, they were able to focus their good, their energy, on the things that made most sense for their organization. And of course, Apple's incredibly successful, most profitable company in the United States, maybe in the world. And I think that there's something about that's very zen and very beautiful. The number of buttons you see on your cell phone are much smaller today than you would have seen 5, 7, 10 years ago. The number of, wheels you see on your iPod, right? They don't exist anymore, right? We got the wheels away and we got rid of, the ability to push any buttons. It's now just all swipe technology. Even the interface of an iPod itself, it seems very outmoded, right? Taking a digital music player and just turning your phone into a digital music player, it's faster. It makes more sense. Focusing on the right thing. It allows us to have a very zen-like experience where, yes, there are myriad distractions. You can do anything. But you can also do nothing. And giving yourself permission to do what you are doing. So when you're driving in a car, just drive that car, right? Be on the road to wherever you're going, but be on that road, that St. Francis bit again. Not forcing ourselves to always be thinking about what the next step looks like. Because for the teenager or the screenager or the middle schooler or the little guy in front of you, they only have one shot at your fourth grade classroom on a Wednesday in October. They only have one time through that unit on The Great Gatsby. It's a rerun for you, but it's the first time they've seen it or heard it. They only have one chance to make a new friend on that first day you do a group or a station's activity. They only have one chance to do that back to school night with moms and dads getting excited for their first time in an eighth grade classroom, or their first time in a high school classroom, or their first time in a fourth grade classroom, or a kindergarten classroom. And I think as we remember for ourselves what it's like to go back to this new now, this new normal, whatever it is, the temptation is always to say, well, let's go back to the way it was. It's like, or not. Maybe there are some traditions that can change. Giving ourselves permission to be healthy, to be rejuvenated by the work that we do, but also to be imminently present in everything. I had a dear friend of mine who was a Franciscan priest, so I'll close with him. When in doubt, always give the last word to a personal hero of your own. I tell my students it's a really bad idea. Like, always end your essays by saying your thoughts, not a famous quote by somebody else. But this one's just too good to pass up. So, Father Brad, if you're listening, I hope you rest in peace. I'm thinking about you every day. I had a great friend in college who was a Franciscan priest who had passed away during COVID, unrelated to COVID, well before his time, about a year and a half ago. And he would always say, before he said Mass, he would say, priest of God, like a prayer, right? He'd say, priest of God, may you say, celebrate today's Mass as if it was your first Mass, as if it was your last Mass, and if it was your only Mass. And I think that really resonates, this intentionality of this Thoreau quote, this idea of the Steve Jobs intentionality, and this idea of St. Francis himself, do today with the joy as if it was your first time ever doing all that excitement, all that butterfly. Today, when you teach that lesson, be excited about it. It's the first time. A lot of things can go wrong. But also celebrate it like it will be your last chance to do it. And if you knew this was the last time you ever had a chance to teach a third grade English lesson, would you phone it in, right? What would you say? What would you savor? And if it was the only one, right? If it was the first, you'd have joy and butterflies. The last one, it would have intent and intentionality. And then if it was the only one you got, man, like, this is that moment for those students that they may only have this one moment. It's all we really have. And giving yourself permission to not be lesson planning for the next class as the first class is doing this one, to be here, you know, be present, take our cell phones, turn them off, go out in the woods, live deliberately, metaphorically speaking. And as you bring back your teaching practice for this new year, keeping that in mind, I think it's a really powerful way to approach it. Anyways, that's it. God bless you guys. Please stay safe, stay home, wear a mask, get vaccinated. Science is real. You can be both a person of great faith and great science too. Put faith in smart man-made systems, trust the process, trust the science, and let's get this pandemic in our rear view. See you next week. Thank you again.